And I'm going to read from Mark chapter 14, verse 32. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not that I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This was a part of the life of Jesus just before he was to go to the cross, where this time of the year we remember the beloved of God became the punished of God, that Jesus went through extraordinary testing and suffering. At the cross he was rejected so that we could be accepted. He was punished so that our penalty could be paid. He even became a curse so that we could inherit the blessing of Abraham. He was wounded and stripped so that we could be healed. And he went through all that, but perhaps the greatest thing was that he died that we could be forgiven. That's what we remember at Easter. But the passage I just read was a time where really everything that Jesus had to go through, this is where it began. His suffering and his affliction, this is where it began. And not only that, Jesus went through for you and I. He went through a test. He was fully God, but he was also fully human. And so he was tested whether he would go through this by God, whether he would go to the cross for us. And he went through all the testing. He suffered. He was afflicted. Incredible suffering he went through. And he went through that and came out the other side in the victory. He went through it and he accomplished all that God called him to do. He didn't fail. He achieved what God called him to do. And he remained in the Father's will and experienced the power of resurrection and being raised and seated at the right hand of the Father forever. He came right through and went through to his destiny. But before that happened, he came to this place called Gethsemane. And we're told that in this place, because Jesus was all-knowing, Jesus is omniscient. He knew everything that he had to go through. He knew that he was going to be betrayed. He knew that his back was going to be flayed beyond human pain. He knew that they would press a crown into his head. He knew that all his friends would be betrayed. He knew he'd be reviled, misunderstood. And above all, he knew that there would be an agony that is beyond human knowing, that all the sin, all the shame, all your guilt, all my guilt, all the sin of anyone who ever lived will be placed on him, and in that moment he would be separated from the Father. And he knew the horror of that. He knew the horror of his testing. And it was not an easy thing to go through. He knew that he was about to be tried and tested in a way that nobody had ever been tested or tried before. And because of what was before him, he prayed this. He said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." And we've got to understand, he was in a position where, God help this word live even now in Jesus' name. He was in a position where what was the distress that he was in, it was so great the sorrow and the grief that he was feeling was so great and heavily upon him that it almost killed him. We're told he prayed and sweat drops of blood, that what he was going through was such an agony of the soul. It was such a deep distress. He was so distressed about what he had to go through for you and I. It was so hard and it was so heavy that in that moment he felt as though not the cross, but that burden of what he was going through could have killed him. Have you ever been so distressed you think you could die? I bet you haven't, not like that. But he had that sort of distress, that sort of distress. And so he was in a highly distressed place. And the Bible says he was a man familiar with sorrows. But this was deep, deep, not distress. It was actually anguish. He was in a place of anguish. And the word Gethsemane, where he prayed, it actually means olive press. This is an aside. It means olive press. You know, sometimes people preach a gospel that when you become a Christian, it's just, you know, he took all the suffering, so your life is going to be blessing, ease, and comfort. It's not that. There are times where God allows us, like he allowed Jesus, to be hard-pressed, to experience real pressures. Paul wrote this, and he wrote this. He said, I am hard-pressed. We are hard-pressed on every side, 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are crushed, yet not perplexed, in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be also manifested in our body. What does that mean? It means there's a purpose for the pressure. There's a purpose. Gethsemane means olive press. Olive press. You know what an olive press is for? It's to get the oil out. And the oil always represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The way God gets the oil, the anointing to flow from your life, is through he knows exactly how much pressure to apply, not to crush you, but to get the oil out. That's the purpose of the pressure, to get the oil of the Holy Spirit to flow in your life. But that's an aside. Jesus was in this place. And he was he was at a time where he was deeply anguished and deeply distressed. But Gethsemane is not only the place of testing; it's a place of great. He was greatly tested in anguish to stay obedient to God. He knew he had to go to that cross, and he was tested. He was in anguish. He did not want to go through with it in his flesh. He did not want to go there naturally. He said to God, if there's any way, all things are possible, if there's any way I could avoid this, if there's any way at all things are possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And so he was tested, he was in anguish. But Gethsemane is not only a place of testimony, it's the place where victory begins for the Christian life. Because you will be tested. I have been tested. We will continue to be tested. And the test for Jesus was this. The test for Jesus was this. In John 6:38, in John chapter 5:29, we hear this statement. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will. He says in John 6:38, but you do not have... John 6:38, he says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And all Jesus ever did was not his own will. He did the will of God. Everything he did was what God wanted of him. Yet he was human, and he had his own will. And you have a will, and I have a will. And at this moment, Jesus was praying. He was saying, this test is before me. This test is before me. And God, anything's possible for you. I know this is where you're leading me, but you can take it away. You can take this test away because you can do anything, God. This is what he's praying. You can do anything. You could take this away from me. And my will is that you do take this away from me. That's what Jesus said. My will, I don't want to go through this. I want something different. But I'm aware in my spirit that your will is to go to the cross. I want to tell you, there's time in the Christian life where you really want, you have a will, and you want a certain relationship. You want to live in a certain place. You want to live a certain way. You want to do a certain thing. Maybe you want a certain job. And yet you come to a knowledge that in his still small voice, God is speaking to you and that God wants something different for you. God wants you to do not what you want to do. God has a different plan for you. And I want to tell you, this is where in Christianity, God has so much victory. God has so much goodness for you. God wants to give you not an ordinary life. God wants to give you an abundant life. But I want to tell you, this is the place where the rubber hits the road. To come into victory, to come into all the plans, all the fulfillment, all the promises being fulfilled, to come into an abundant life, we have to be a people who on many occasions will say to God, I want to do this, but I'm not going to do it because I'm aware you want this. And I want to tell you, sometimes it is hard. It was hard for Jesus. Some people, they just believe no matter what choice I make, God's going to bless it. I want to tell you, you've come under the influence of a lie, a cheap, greasy grace gospel that is from the pit of hell. And it is preached commonly. Whatever you choose, God loves you so much. You choose anything, God's going to work it all around, and it's all going to come out fine. I want to tell you, Jesus said, unless you pick up the cross and deny yourself, you can't come into the life of victory and goodness and abundance that I have for you. And there are times where this becomes very, very real for us. At times where you sense God's will for you is something totally different to what you really desire. I remember a time when my wife, I was saved and my wife, I got married and my wife was almost still backslidden. It was a miracle of God. She was saved, but she wasn't really walking with God. And there came a time where God, he was speaking to me about the good plans he had for us together. But my wife was quite successful. And she worked for this place called Macquarie Bank. In those days, they used to call it the Millionaire's Factory, because if you worked there long enough, you just became a millionaire. Hard place to get a job, but you got really, really well looked after. And there came a time where, even when we moved up here, Michelle was still working in Macquarie Bank, the Millionaire's Factory. And God was really speaking to her about becoming a pastor. And I want to tell you, at that time, that thought didn't thrill my wife. She really liked her job. But I want to tell you, today, my wife is a living miracle. She loves her life, is the most blessed woman. God has led her. God has fought her battles. God is using her. She would stand in any room and say she's the happiest person in that room 10 out of 10 times because God is on her. But I want to tell, I remember the day where she had to say, yet not my will. God, not my will, but your will be done. There are times God is going to say to you, to bring you into the place, you want to marry that person. He's not right for you. You can push through. And God will still love you. But you may not come quickly into the extraordinary plan that he has. It will be delayed. It will be delayed. Because we become self-willed. So Jesus, his own will at this time, deeply wanted to avoid that cross. He deeply wanted not to go to that cross. Yet he prayed Father, if it's possible, take it. That's what we've got to pray. If it's possible, let me do my will, but if not, if your will is absolutely clear to me, then let your will triumph over my will, God. Surrendering your will to his will is hard, but it's the most important thing we have to do. We all have to come to that place where we surrender our will. I want to tell you, God has a provision for your life, but to get to the provision, and it's all good. It is abundant life. It is a prosperous life. It is a victorious life. It's a life where we can receive the promises. But to get to the provision of God, we've got to go through the process. The process is surrender. The process is, when you surrender your will to his, there's a death in the spirit that takes place. But you know what? Jesus, he went right through. God was calling him. God was saying, just obey me. Just allow my will to triumph for this situation. You know what? When he surrendered his will, he accomplished God's purpose. He died for the sin of humanity. He destroyed the works of Satan. Every captive in hell he set free. He accomplished the most extraordinary victory of God that all humanity needed, that will never be exceeded. And then God exalted him through the power of God, raised him from death and exalted him to the right hand of the Father in complete victory after he made the choice, your will, not my will. He went right through and accomplished his destiny. He allowed God's power to come into his life and raise him after he prayed, your will, but not my will. You know, it's hard. It's hard because in this passage, Jesus went through. He came out of that place and then he got very, very tested where Pilate said, are you the king of the Jews? He knew that answer was going to get him killed. He said, I am. He went right through. He accomplished all he had to do before God. He did everything God was asking him to do, even though it was hard. But all the disciples around Jesus at that time, they all failed. Jesus went through the test and he got through every plan of the enemy and he went right through the cross into the power of resurrection, past every plan of the enemy, and then he was raised to the right hand of the Father. He accomplished all that God was calling him to do. He went right through in victory all the way, yet all the disciples failed at this hour. What is going to take you through to victory? What is going to keep your life in victory when you're tested, when your flesh is screaming out, I want to have that boy? And God said, I got a different boy for you. Or something else. Or I want to get out of this marriage. God said, you're going to stay in that marriage. What is going to take you through? You know, sometimes the testing is so great. Jesus was tested so great. Sometimes I've been tested so great. I had a man offer me what would have been a $5 million a year job, and my flesh wanted it. All my friends were saying, take it. I was in America, and God said, I'm going to call you to preach. I want to tell you, in those days, I wasn't how I am today. I wanted to take that job. There are tests that we're going to go through that are really, that they're not easy to pass. Where your flesh is crying out, I want to go and I want to do this sin. That's what your flesh wants. And God's will is very clear. So I called you to be righteous and holy. What brings you, what keeps you on that path? Where you're going to go through to your destiny, where you're not going to be knocked off like Jesus. You're going to go right through and stay with God and experience all God's victory in your life. I tell you what's going to get you through. First of all, you've got to know God's will, what it is for your life. A lot of people, they don't know what God's will is. It's vain. I want to tell you, it is good. We live under a new covenant. And in Jeremiah, it speaks of that covenant. You will not lay down your will unless you will not surrender your will. You will not trust God's will to be done over your will unless you know his will is good. Jeremiah 33, it says 32:40, it says, I will make an everlasting covenant them. I will not turn away from doing them good. That's God's will for you. A lot of people know this scripture here. It says, God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I want to tell you, whatever you think or whatever you desire, whatever your will is for your life, you've got to know to make this choice and get through. You've got God's will is better for you. He sees around corners. He knows what that person who you think is Mr. George Clooney, he knows what he's really like. And he's got someone better. Everything God calls you to lay down and surrender for him in according to your will, he's no man's debtor. Every time you lay that thing down, he brings something better. I want to tell you, every time. Every time I gave away a job that I could have earned multi-millions, I'm telling you, my wife said I could have earned $5 million a year. It's a lot of money. I want to tell you before everybody, before God, I've never regretted it for a second. I got a job that I wouldn't trade to be the Prime Minister of Australia. I serve God. I've seen cripples walk. I've seen the mute speak. I've been used of God. He's no man's debtor. To make that choice, you've got to know that God's will for you. You've got to be fully persuaded about the goodness of God. Some people think God can't be trusted. He's a bit shaky. If you want to see what he did in the Old Testament, maybe he's going to do it to me. His will is good. Now, secondly, what gets you through that test? What gets you so that... The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. What gets you to stay in the spirit? The spirit is where you walk in the will of God because the spirit is empowering you. What gets you to stay in the place of the spirit and not be live in that place of weakness, which is flesh, doing your will? I want to tell you, there are tests, I just said, they're hard. There are times where it's not easy. I want to just be honest. There are tests that are not easy. Peter, in this scripture, in verse 29, he says to Jesus, even all the rest of them stumble, I'll never leave you. Tremendous statement of faith towards God. A lot of people make tremendous statements towards God, but they're not real. Peter's wasn't real. It was just something he'd clap in church. Oh, wonderful, fantastic, but wasn't real. Religious lies, they're the worst lies. Peter was good at it. He says, I'll follow you wherever you go. A lot of people came to Jesus. I'll follow you wherever you go. And he says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but I'm not impressed by your words. I'm impressed by action. And Peter made this statement. And then, you know, less than 24 hours later, he was living in complete failure. Because when his flesh was tested, and they came for Jesus, his flesh was weak, even though he thought it was strong, and he failed the test completely. Why will you, I'm going to tell you, there's only one way you're going to pass the test. There's one way. You've got to know God is good first. But three times here, I want to tell you, there's three times Jesus came in verse 32, sit here while I pray. And they all went to sleep. He was troubled and deeply distressed. He said to them, my soul is... He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed. Look at that. He went and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, an hour might pass through him. And he prayed, Father, take this cup, but not my will, but your will. And he said again, watch and pray. In verse 38, this went on for 3 hours. 3 hours, he went and prayed. He went and fell on his face and prayed. They slept. They drifted off. They was prayed a bit, but kept going to sleep. For 3 hours, he fell on his face. I want to tell you, anyone that's got something about a loud prayer meeting, you've got to know how God does business. He didn't pray quietly. Hebrews 5 tells us about that prayer. Let me tell you what it says about that prayer. It says that he, in Hebrews chapter 5, where is it? Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears in him, who was able to save him from death, was heard because of his godly fear. Vehement cries. Jesus passed the test because he prayed. You're going to pass the test because of your prayer life. Let me just say, you're going to be tested in these 3 hours. Jesus prayed and God came. He got in the spirit and God started to minister to him. God started to take him through. I want to tell you, if you pray it out, you'll walk it out. Victory is gained in the prayer room. It's too late to pray at the cross. The victory for the cross was gained in Gethsemane's prayer time. If you pray it out, you'll walk it out. Hear me. If you pray it out, when you're tested, if you pray it out, you'll walk out victory. If you don't pray it out, you'll walk in defeat. You would stay in the spirit and not in the flesh. There's only one way. It's through prayers. It's through prayers. Someone says, oh, Pastor, I'm really struggling. And I'm just, I say, well, come to the prayer meeting. I don't want to come to the prayer meeting. I can't do anything for you. I want to tell you, victory for tomorrow is gained in prayer today. Tomorrow's victory is gained through today's prayer. If you pray it out, you will walk it out. I'll tell you what happened at that time. If you go to Luke's, this is so profound. If you go to Luke's gospel, he describes this, and he says, after he prayed, his prayer becomes like sweat. Verse 43, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. I want to tell you, if you pray it out, when you're tested, if you pray it out, there is a strength. If you stay in that place of prayer, you know, 3 times Jesus had to go there. I want to tell you, God watches over those who pray. And in that time of prayer, there is a strength that will come into you for the test that you don't have before you go into the prayer closet. It's that strength is your victory, and it comes from heaven. I want to tell you, Jesus didn't have that strength when he went into Gethsemane, but he got it through prayer, the strength to pass the test. I want to tell you, there are angels that are still strengthening you through prayer. Sometimes I get up and pray early in the morning, and I've got things to go through. I've got tests to go through. And sometimes I go in there and I've got all the weight in the world. I just feel oppressed and whatever. When I come out of there, I thought, what was I ever worried about? You know why? Because in that time, a strength from heaven has come into me that wasn't there before to pass the test. I come out of that place new. I come out of that place a new cry. I come out of that place renewed. I come out of that place in victory before the day starts. But it happens through prayer. I want to tell you, it happens through prayer. You know, there was other tests that he had to go through. He was tested here. He had to surrender his will. And a little bit later, he was God's king. And he said, I could call angels here to surrender. He had to surrender his rights as God's king to go through. Then he had to surrender his very life on the cross. 3 surrenders. 3 times of prayer. 3 victories. 3 victories. So I wanna just challenge us. God's got a call on all of our lives. God has got a place that he wants to take us all into above where we're walking now. Jesus accomplished what God called him for. The Bible says that God called you to do works for him before the world was created. I want to tell you, they're exceedingly abundantly above anything you could imagine. A walk with God will take you to places that no man can get to. It's an extraordinary good life of the Spirit. It's a place of overcoming. It's a place of God's provision for your life. It's a place of power. But there are tests along the way. The key to the life of Jesus, Jesus says, I only do what I hear the Father say. I only come to do the Father's will. And at Easter, you know what happens to the place? I just want to say, you have your will, and there's God's will. If you will pray, in the prayer closet, your will gets shifted. Do you hear what I said? Your will gets shifted. If you will pray when you're tested and stay in that place with God until you know there's a release, you'll actually come out of that place. You'll say, I no longer want to do that thing anymore. With all my heart, I want to do God's thing. Your will gets shifted through prayer. I want to tell you, God has got so much for his people. But the rubber hits the road here. I want to do X, Y, Z. I want to do it. Don't believe the lie of the devil that you can do anything you want. God's still going to bless you. He'll never stop loving you, but there's a difference between being loved of God and living in the blessing of God. The blessing of God comes through that place where we say, yet, I know what I want to do, yet, God, I surrender today. My will, I lay it down, and I say, God, 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 you're speaking to me that your will is different. I lay mine down and let yours be done. I want to tell you, there are so many little tests that God has along the way, but those times are so powerful. When you do that with God, you so position yourself for God. God sees that choice you make and you position yourself to get his attention. And if you say, I'm going to do what I want, what happens? You go around the mountain again, 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 till you come back to the same place of testing. And you'll continue to live like that until you pass the test, where you say, God, no longer do I want to live in a self-willed way. I actually want. I trust that your will is better for me. I trust that your will is so good for me. You know, if you only knew the will of God, you wouldn't be able to sleep at night for your life. It's so good. Let's get the worship team. I want us just to pray. At Easter, let's just bow our heads. Father, you are moving in our midst. And you have got, Lord, wonderful plans for everyone here. And just as Jesus came through to the fullness of victory, of resurrection life, where he is seated at the right hand of the Father, because he passed that test, Lord. Lord, he passed that test because he prayed it out. Father, I lift every single person here to you right now, Lord. Every single person that may be in the valley of decision. Every single person who knows, Lord, that you're whispering something, that your will for them is something contrary to what they desire. Father, I lift them to you right now. Father, I ask that even as we're in the house of God today, angels will come and strengthen that person right now, Lord. Father, as we come into this place today and we seek you and pray it out, that as we pray it out, we will walk out a life of victory, Lord. Father, I decree that this house will be a house of prayer, where the tested people will come in and pray it out. and they will walk it out in victory. Father, I decree that even today, those that are tested, as they surrender, Lord, you'll change their will. Father, there'll be a shift in the will of that person, that they will delight to do your will. Father, David says, I delight to do your will. Let every heart in this place be established today, Lord, that, Father, we understand how good you are. That when we choose our will, we may think it's good, but by choosing out, we miss your best. Father, let your perfect good will manifest in every person in this church. Yes. May we be a people who go right through into all the plans, into all the fullness, into all the goodness. All the goodness that only God can bring to our lives. And Father, let our flesh not derail any of it. And we pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Mighty name of Jesus. When he made that choice, he says, I want to do this, but yet not my will. Your will come forth now, Lord. Your will come forth. After that decision, it says, therefore God has highly exalted him and giving to him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When he made that decision, God took him right through, lifted him, exalted him. Just the power of surrender and obedience. Let's just leave that picture. That beyond the obedience and the suffering and the surrender of Good Friday is power of resurrection. Power of God that comes in and changes everything. That brings us right through. May we reflect on that this Easter. May it be a reflection of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. We pray all that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.